Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Paris, France, Véronique de Régis, who's traveling in her native France, having toured Italy for opera these last days while the world is turning over and over the polycrisis. I've been taught a new word. Too many crises to know which one. But in Véronique's world, it was too many operas to know which one. Véronique, a very good evening to you. We're going to talk about taxes in the U.S., but a moment. You attended opera. Where and what did you see? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I was in Verona. It's my second time because it's remarkable. Anyone who likes opera, they are at like an ancient arena, Roman arena. You can have tickets whenever you want. It's cheap too. And we saw Carmen. I always take my dad, Carmen, Nabucco, and Aida. And then I went to La Scala in Milan and we saw La Serenentola. It was fabulous.
An opera tour in Italy. And now we come to Paris, France, where there's trouble in the street. You might have heard of this.
Yes, trouble in the street.
About a fall of the government. But we're turning to the U.S. government and in a column that you've posted at Creator Syndicate about taxes. I started reading this column with trepidation for fear that I'm the beneficiary of taxes that are not only irregular, but what you call carve-outs. What are the carve-out tax exemptions that can be found to be a weakness in our system? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So you and I have talked about this. I look at carve-outs and I look at the ones, the tax credits and deduction that are meant to alleviate the double taxation of income. And there are just a few of them. There are about 10 or 11 of them. That's, you know, the preferential treatment of capital gains, the 401k, the Roth, tax credits and tax deductions like these. And then there are all the other ones that are special interest deductions. And the reason why, and they are stuff like all the tax credits in the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, like a special treatment for this green energy and that green energy. And you get this if you install this type of windows and stuff. And so I have my own kind of way of looking at it. But the reason why I wrote this column is that a professor of economics actually looked at it in a different way, completely different way than the way I look at it. And he actually looked at whether these carve-outs, the ones that are meant to actually incentivize behavior, whether they actually kind of, whether they do it. And he found out that some of them, the biggest one actually, they fare, they perform miserably.
This is every dollar of tax revenue the government gives up. Do we see at least a dollar's worth of additional activity result in the targeted area? So the biggest tax carve out of all is?
The employer health insurance deduction. And this one fails miserably because what he finds is that it doesn't encourage people who would not have gotten health insurance to get health insurance. And especially because of the design of the tax credit, that basically it fails the efficiency test. This is one of those that I would get rid of. Of course, it's such a big one. And there's an entire system that built around it. The special interests are extremely powerful. I fear that I will never succeed, but this is one that failed both tests. So that's one. Interestingly, one that I would get rid of, or at the very least really reform, is a charitable tax deduction. And this professor found that actually it succeeds in attracting more charitable deduction. So, you know, I am kind of more sympathetic to it.
Let's look at the ones in between. What about mortgage interest deduction? Is that efficient?
No, It's not. It incentivizes debt, but it doesn't. It's not a good return on investment. And of course, you know, we're talking about basically the where the dollar lost in tax revenue could have been spent better. And one of the things that I thought was interesting about this study is saying, like, we're spending all of this money to give to special interests, to people to deduct the interest on their mortgage and stuff, when actually what we could be doing is actually reducing taxes for everyone. And the mortgage interest deduction is a typical one where you give a special carve out to a special group, and it really doesn't actually even do what you think it's going to do. And we could have actually saved that, like, have not a carve out for a specific group, but we could have gotten a reduction across the board in marginal tax rates to everyone, and that would have been much more effective.
Now, the big fix of all of this is a flat tax, right? That would sweep aside all these concerns. I think the presentation you make rhetorically is because we have the tax system, we're doomed to be complicated. Is that the one we have now?
Yes, exactly. Because instead of having the tax base that we use to assess the taxes we pay being a consumption tax, meaning that you take your income and you remove all the income saved or invested, and you only tax it when it's consumed. You only tax the part that is consumed. We have an income tax. And that means that inevitably, if you tax all forms of income, you're going to be taxing some income many times over. And this is why we then have these carve-outs. We don't have the right tax base. A flat tax, even a progressive flat tax would solve that problem. Getting the right tax base would be the key.
Big question, big solution. Is this the system that would solve our debt, flat tax?
No, it wouldn't solve there's no level of taxes that can actually absorb and put a serious dent on the debt we have. I think even if we had the ideal tax base and hence generated enormous economic growth, we are so much into debt, especially with the insolvency of Social Security and Medicare, that it's a problem that's very hard to solve without actually reforming the drivers of our debt, meaning Social Security and Medicare.
So the tax system, although flat tax would be superior to what we have now, we have too big a problem to be solved by taxes. Congress has to act. Congress has to cut spending.
Yeah, but if we had the right tax base, right, we'd have more economic growth, and it would mean that the reduction of the debt coming from reforming those programs would have to be less dramatic than it will have to be with a bad tax base. So it's still extremely important to get the tax base correctly.
Final detail, because I love it. The Roth retirement fund that you have in the stock market, You pay taxes to go into it, but you take it out without taxes. Is that effective or inefficient?
So it's interesting that you should say this. I actually didn't write it in the piece, but I think it's an important one because it prevents double taxation of income. But according to that study, it's not very efficient. It actually doesn't draw as much extra savings as the 401k. And I think it's because the 401k is money that you put tax-free, and you're going to be actually paying it in the future. This one you pay after taxes. And so I guess it doesn't actually attract much more savings. I think that's what it is, but I'd have to look more into it. So I'm favorable to this, but this guy says it's not effective attracting more savings.
Véronique de Régis in Paris for the Mercatus Center.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.